Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
You're listening to Think on KERA. I'm Lauren Silverman, in for Chris Boyd. The time has come to crown a winner. The competition, Texan of the Year. It's long been a tradition at the Dallas Morning News, and the team has been sifting through hundreds of nominations, from Dallas District Attorney Susan Hawk to UTD Nobel Prize recipient Aziz Sankar to Taya Kyle, the widow of Navy SEAL Chris Kyle. So here to talk finalists with us is Todd Robertson. He's editorial writer for the Morning News, although we hear today is his last day and he'll be leaving to go out of Texas.
That's correct.
Where are you headed?
I'll be heading to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, where I will be the editorial page editor.
Well, are you sad you won't be able to do Texan of the Year anymore?
This would be my sixth or my seventh Texan of the Year out of, we've been doing this since 2003.
Okay.
So I will miss it. Who knows? Maybe we'll have a Missourian Texan, Missourian of the Year.
It doesn't have the same ring to it,
no.
But that's all right. So let's talk a little bit about the ground rules first for this. How does it work? How many people are nominated and how are they nominated?
Well, nominations can come from anyone. We accept nominations starting, as early as July from readers on our blog. And then the editorial writers, will start collecting names from wherever, whenever. We try to scan a wide variety of publications. Just stay tuned in on Texans making news around the world, and then we keep a file on it, and then we winnow that down toward the end of the year. So it's a long, drawn-out process.
It sure sounds like it. So how many finalists are there?
We always have 9 finalists, and then number 10 is the actual Texan of the Year, and that'll be announced, Saturday online and Sunday in the paper.
Great. So let's start with the news story of the past few months.
Ahmed Mohammed is a freshman at MacArthur High School in Irving, Texas. He was put in handcuffs this week, accused of trying to make a bomb after he brought a clock that he made to school. Today, police announced they will not file charges against him.
I now have our police chief, who is a wonderful, wonderful man, a family man, a church-going man. And I now have our police officer, as well as a number of teachers, school administrators, receiving death threats as a direct result of this. And it is unfortunate, and it has got to stop.
That's right. Ahmed Mohammed and Irving Mayor Beth Van Dyne. So the pair was nominated and is a finalist. Todd Robertson, what do these two have in common?
They have very little in common. they have a lot to argue about if they ever were to meet. We decided to put them both together because they were both huge newsmakers. They made news around the world. They got the attention of governments around the world, human rights activists around the world. And that raises a very good point about the criteria for being named Texan of the Year or a finalist. We're not necessarily celebrating these people. We're not necessarily honoring them. We're talking about their impact. And these two definitely had a huge impact across the world.
Yes, they're sort of a great duo in that sense. Each is became a hero on different sides of the same coin, so
exactly.
To speak. And you can have pairs win. That's fine.
We've had multiple people win at different times, so absolutely.
Now, this issue of Muslim-American relations was also another concern in a different Texas town this year.
A proposed cemetery sparked a lively debate in small-town Texas. An Islamic group wants to build a cemetery in Farmersville, an hour north of Dallas. That's led to some heated rhetoric from a number of people who want to stop it.
I don't know if you remember the story of the Farmersville Cemetery. It's not over yet. It's still up for debate, so to speak. Todd, is it fair to say that life as a Texas Muslim American this year was perhaps bumpier than usual?
Bumpier than usual, but there's been a kind of a crescendo leading to this moment. I can remember a similar protest in Katy, Texas a few years ago where I can't remember if it was a funeral or the proposed site for a mosque, and residents went out and allowed pigs to graze on the property just to defile it. You get stunts like this all the time. This is very clearly a provocative, touchy issue, and the activists on one side of the issue are trying to provoke the other side into doing things that then they can react to and inflame the situation even more. And so part of what both Irving Mayor Beth Van Dyne and Ahmed Mohammed did was to expose their own base to their particular viewpoint in this and maybe capitalize on it a little bit. Ahmed Mohammed wound up getting, I think, a full-paid scholarship or something to attend school in Dubai, and Beth Van Dyne became a national figure on the Republican scene. So they both capitalized on it. At the same time, both took steps that were not quite so celebrated to kind of defuse this entire issue and bring some sanity to it.
Now, there are on the list of finalists, there's an author also who makes this final round, Sarah Heppala. And in her memoir, Blackout, she outlines her drunken escapades. And here she is reading from her book on Fresh Air.
I had a drinking problem, although I wouldn't have used the word problem, at least not without air quotes. One morning, I woke up in the living room of a cute British guy's apartment. The inflatable mattress was leaking, and my behind was scraping the ground in a plastic hammock. The last thing I remembered was walking my friend Lisa to the subway the night before. She held both my hands. "Do not go home with that guy," she said. And I said, "I promise, pinky swear." Then I went back into the bar, and he ordered us another round. This was the kind of excitement I wanted from a single life in New York, the kind of excitement I was hoping to find when I left Texas at the age of 31 in a Honda loaded down with books and heartbreak.
Beautiful writing. That's Texan Sarah Heppala reading from her memoir, Blackout. Todd Robertson, Heppala already landed on the New York Times bestseller list, and she received praise from coast to coast. So what's her significance here in the state?
Well, she's discussing a very sensitive topic. I mean, you know, alcoholism is huge. Substance abuse is huge, and it's not the kind of thing that you normally attach humor to. And we find as writers all the time that one of the fastest way to break the ice with an audience, with readers, with listeners, or with you know, your book readers, is to use humor. It breaks down their defenses, and she did it in a masterful way. And she makes very clear in her book that when you black out in a drinking binge, that doesn't necessarily mean you're flat out on the floor with your eyes closed and you're off in Wonderland. Your body is awake. You're moving around. You're doing all kinds of crazy things that your mind is not aware of. And so she writes in her book that she did things that she just flat out could not remember the next day. It was a way of making everyone aware of what are the challenges of having that kind of substance abuse problem and how you overcome it and that there's life afterwards.
Do you have fun writing the nominations or writing about the finalists for the paper?
I do. I have tremendous fun. It's a tremendous amount of work and a tremendous amount of pressure. The past 6 years since I've written the Texan of the Year essay, which is the final one that takes up multiple newspaper pages. It's a very long article. Because I do that, I don't write the lead-up finalist ones, and so I don't always immerse myself in those details. But I can remember one time we had one of our finalists was T. Boone Pickens, and we put him on the list because he was instrumental in advancing the cause of wind power. His venture ultimately failed, but what we were impressed with was that he took it out of the realm of kind of the Birkenstocks eco-friendly realm, and he ran with it and said, "No, you can make money doing this. Billionaires can make this happen," and so that was extraordinary.
And now it's become Texas is the biggest provider of wind energy in the country.
Exactly.
I don't know if we can say it's all because of him, but.
But most decidedly not because of him.
So let's talk for a second about some of the past winners. Last year, very memorable, it was the Ebola Warriors. Now, you had to write about a whole bunch of people for this one. Who did that include? And how did you select that, that process?
What we do, the selection process is actually very interesting. Maybe I should get into that before we get into that particular topic. As I said, we winnow the list down. We all are assigned specific people that we have to research, and we basically have to become their advocates. It's almost like a trial where we would be the defense lawyers, and then the rest of the board serves as the prosecution. Their job is to poke holes in the argument.
To tear them down.
Yeah, and you argue as passionately as you can for the person that you're offering up to the board. And I guess I've won that argument six times in the past 6 years in a row.
You'd be a good lawyer, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's you also have to lobby a little bit. So we go around to the different editorial board members and try to get them on board, say this is a really important prospect here. Here's why, and here's why it works for what we're trying to do on the editorial board. And so you go into the room, knowing that you're going to have some votes for this one, knowing that probably nobody is going to support your argument for this other one over here, and before the entire process begins, the editorial page editor Kevin Ann Willey makes us all raise our hand, and one by one she goes around the table, and we swear that we will not discuss it outside of that room. It is top secret, and it's dead serious. My wife doesn't know. My daughter doesn't know. My dog doesn't know. Nobody knows about this. And the secret part of it passes on to the people who we will ultimately name the Texan of the Year. We can't tell them that they've been selected. And so it raises some very challenging circumstances when you're trying to get people who have been in the news. They are sick of reporters asking for interviews. And yet you've got to try to tell them, I want to interview you. I had Admiral Bill McRaven, the most sought-after man in America in 2011 because he commanded the mission that killed Osama bin Laden. Everybody wanted to talk to him. Only two journalists managed to get an interview that year. I was one of them. I called up his office in Florida, and I said, I'm Todd Robertson from the Dallas Morning News editorial board. I'd like to request an interview with Admiral McRaven. And there was silence on the other end, and they'd say,
good luck.
Why do you want this interview? And I said, I can't tell you. It's a secret. And there was something about that, the secret world that they lived in that drew them in. It was kind of a funny moment. And I wound up getting the interview, and I conducted it in secret at a secret location in Houston.
That must have been such a treat.
It was astoundingly, really an exceptional experience.
You're listening to Think on KERA. I'm Lauren Silverman, in today for Chris Boyd. This hour, we're talking with Todd Robertson. He's editorial writer with the Dallas Morning News about the paper's yearly ritual of naming a Texan of the Year. The nomination period may be over, but you can still toss some ideas our way. Give us a call, 800-933-5372, or send an email, think@kera.org. We'll be back with more top Texas names and stories of 2015 after a short break.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education. Spring registration is now open with courses in art, architecture, literature, and languages, as well as professional certificates and test preparation. Registration online at smu.edu/CAPE.
Baby, baby, tender, sweet loving, you're my one and only woman. The world needs a bit of taste in my mouth, girl. You're the only one that I wanna be around.
That smooth, soulful voice is Fort Worth's Leon Bridges. He's one of the 9 finalists for the Dallas Morning News Texan of the Year. Yes, even with that old school sound, we're talking about nominees for 2015 and finalists. In the studio is Todd Robertson. He's editorial writer at the Morning News. Todd, why Leon Bridges, if I have to ask?
Well, I have an admission here. That is the very first time I've actually heard his music.
Really? Well, what do you think?
They keep me very – that is wonderful. That is just fabulous. But they keep me so busy, I don't have time to actually listen to these. One of the things that we try to do when we're winnowing down this list is we try to make sure we have a diverse field of candidates to choose from. We don't want it just to be a lot of white men, and it's been that way in the past. And you know, people who have impact are typically people who have risen to the top of their field, and we just can't deny that in a world where white men kind of had the advantage. Those are the people who rose to the top and had the biggest impact, and that field is spreading out very quickly, and it gives us a lot more options to choose from, and so we try to have a diverse set of options to choose from.
Also, topics, not just politics.
We want not just for it to be politics, for example. We want it to represent people who have done extraordinary things in music, in science, in the arts, you name it. So we vary it as much as we can.
I love the video. I had heard the song, but I'd never seen the video, which I watched before the show in Coming Home. That's the song Coming Home. And it's really worth seeing. He's tapping these great cowboy boots to the beat on the metal footrest in this barbershop chair. And it's just lovely. And I learned that at only, 26 years old, Leon Bridges probably made every mom pretty happy in an interview with the Rolling Stones. He said with all the success this year, the thing that he was most happy with was being able to pay off his mom's debt.
Right.
Really lovely. So let's jump to a person I hadn't heard of, teacher Shanna Peoples. Tell me about who she is and why she's a finalist for Texan of the Year.
Well, Shanna Peoples is a teacher in Palo Duro, which is outside of Amarillo. And her particular accomplishment is that she was National Teacher of the Year, and that was because she's been particularly instrumental in educating immigrants. And the topic of immigration is a hot one, just like Muslims. It gets people fired up. But like it or not, teachers and school districts have an obligation to educate the kids who are in their classrooms and in their population. They can't just act like they don't exist. Some teachers might fight it. They might do it grudgingly. Shanna Peoples embraced it and decided that she could actually have an impact by helping these children succeed regardless of their background.
So who did the investigation for her? I mean, when it's names that most people aren't as familiar with, how do you do that research?
I'm trying to remember who was the editorial writer on that one. Usually, whoever it is, the first thing we will do is we'll go through our own files and see what we've written on them. And then, of course, you go to the internet and you see what other people have written about that person. And, you track them down. You try to do an interview, of course, not telling them anything about what we're working on. And just hear a little bit about their story. Very often, you get a lot more details to kind of flesh it out and make it into something that readers would want to know about.
Tell me a little bit about the process. We touched on it in the first part of the show about getting the Ebola Warriors, as it were titled, as Texan of the Year last year.
Right. Well, so we had a number of options about the different people that we were going to note in this. And, you know, I have to be very careful about my verbs. I don't necessarily want to say honor or commemorate or anything. Uh-huh. It's, you know, because it's not always that way. So the people that we were going to name could have been, you know, the EMS workers, the people who had to go in and clean out the apartment where the family had lived, where Thomas Eric Duncan had stayed when he was diagnosed with Ebola. But the more I looked into the background of the three that became the Texans of the Year, the more convinced I was that these were people who did extraordinarily brave acts to help others fight Ebola, including going over to West Africa and fighting it over there and quite deliberately exposing yourself to the dangers of
catching
it. Kent
Brantley
is
who you're referring to there.
Kent Brantley. And then Nina Pham and Amber Vinson were at Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital as nurses. And they volunteered for duty in this this ward that was set up to handle one patient and one patient only, and that was Thomas Eric Duncan. And they embraced that challenge very much like Shanna Peoples embraced her challenge. They were certainly afraid. They were ill-prepared for what they were about to confront. And Nina Pham is suing the hospital over what she says was her lack of preparation. But regardless of the dangers that and the pressures that their family members were putting them through and saying, please don't do this, they went ahead and did it. All three of them contracted Ebola, and all three nearly died. Nina Pham actually was getting the kind of counseling that you get on, you know, how do you want your remains handled? Where do you want your personal effects to be sent? That sort of thing. I mean, that's how close it was. They were willing to sacrifice their lives for this cause of fighting Ebola, and that is truly extraordinary.
It sure is. Now, there's another finalist for this year, for 2015, and it's a person we cannot name, not only does the public not know, but you can't even say the name of, because for his own safety, he's remained anonymous. This is for the Terrorist Stopping Garland Officer. What's that nomination about?
So after, let's see, we had the attack on Charlie Hebdo in Paris, and that was all because Charlie Hebdo ran a series of cartoons, satirical cartoons that some radical Muslims decided were so egregious that they had to attack the magazine and kill people. And so there was an activist who decided to go out to Garland and hold a cartoon drawing competition that quite deliberately was meant to provoke. And it did provoke. It drew in some gunmen who came from across the country with the sole purpose of attacking that convention and killing people. And there were a few people standing in their way. There were security guards, but this Garland police officer, from what we understand, was the one who stood in the way of the car and, if I'm not mistaken, fired the first shot that then alerted everyone else, hey, we've got attackers here. We've got to deal with this problem. Again, extraordinary courage. These people could have been very dangerous. They very easily could have shot him and continued on with their mission.
The executive director of the Texas Municipal Police Association called him, this man who we don't have the name for, superhuman. It sounds sort of like a more stereotypical hero in the sense of someone who would be honored with this award.
Yeah.
But it's not always, as you say, the Texan of the Year isn't always an honor.
Exactly. Sometimes, impact is defined in a lot of different ways. So our most controversial Texan of the Year by far was, I believe, the 2007 Texan of the Year, which was the illegal immigrant. And boy, were we blasted for that one. Thousands of emails, phone calls, protesting, saying, how dare you? Why would you honor these people who have broken our laws and come to this country illegally? Then we got hundreds more emails and even a mariachi band in our lobby celebrating us because we are honoring the illegal immigrant. And so we had to make clear to everyone, we are not honoring them. We are merely saying this is in 2007, that was the story of the year. The president of the United States, George W. Bush, was in the middle of trying to push through significant comprehensive immigration reform legislation. It was topic A in the national conversation. So clearly, they had made an impact. And so we just had to clarify with everyone. I had to go on Spanish language television and in Spanish explain, no, this is not an honor. It is just a designation.
Which makes me wonder, and maybe this is a bit nitpicky, but why not change it to the Texas story of the year? Why does it need to be Texan if sometimes that makes people think it's going to be about honoring someone?
Well, for any story, there are always humans behind it. I guess you could honor an earthquake or a hurricane, but that's not much fun. The real story is always how people react to whatever the challenge is out there. One of our Texans of the Year from long ago, 2005, was the city of Houston for how they reacted to the influx of the people who fled Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. So that's where the drama is. It's in the human interaction, the way humans embrace a challenge and run with it or run away from it.
Yes, that too can be top story. So let's go back and talk about the winner in 2010, who's of course continues to be in the news, Rick Perry. How did he land on as Texan of the Year in 2010?
Again, another person. We were noting his impact. We were not necessarily celebrating him. We have had some huge differences with Rick Perry over the years, to the point where when he ran for governor after that, we didn't recommend him. We recommended his Democratic opponent, Bill White, as being someone who was more qualified and just better at articulating the values that Texans should be supporting. And so, again, that put us in a position where we were having to explain to people, we are not celebrating Rick Perry. Mm-hmm. We're just saying this guy, having been elected governor three times, has broken new ground. And you cannot deny that he's had an impact, not just on the state stage, but on the national stage.
Yeah, politics could be tricky with this one. It's easy to get caught up in the world of politics, but not – I'm looking back at the list of choices of people who've had the title of Texan of the Year, and the majority are not politicians.
Right. Again, that doesn't preclude politicians,
yes.
It's not just what you do with your political office. We don't just celebrate note someone who has risen to political office and impressed a lot of people. This is not a popularity contest, really. Hmm. You must have impact.
Is there anyone who had impact this year who didn't make it on the finalists that you wish did?
Yes. And I can't re- – you know, once – boy, we start off with a list of probably more than 20 or 30 out of the hundreds of people who get nominated.
Uh-huh.
And And we argue fiercely about these
things. These are heated arguments.
They are, yeah. I can remember a couple of years ago, someone in the department didn't speak to me for 3 days because I didn't support that person's nomination. So we take it very seriously. You know, to argue these things successfully, you have to be passionate about it. Now I'm drawing a blank on what the
I was just
wondering
if there was someone who you thought should have made it or on the list of at least on the list of finalists.
Well, you know, again, I try to have we try to have a lot of variety in this list. I'm actually drawing a blank on the ones who didn't make it up to the top 10 because, I mean, I just have this image of this whiteboard where we attach our post-it notes with our vote for our different ones, and the one with the most post-it votes tends to be it. But we run through this vote at least 3 times before we come up with the final one. And I can remember arguing passionately a few years ago for Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights, a fictitious character.
Oh, interesting.
You know? So we've got our first finalist this year who's an anonymous person, the Garland police officer, and I was just trying to say, you know, let's have some fun with this. Regardless of whether he was a real person or not, Coach Taylor had a huge national impact, and he was a person who really stood for a lot of values that Texans hold near and dear, you know, constantly trying to guide these boys in the right direction as they encounter challenges with drugs and all these other things. And so, you try to vary these things a little bit, but ultimately, you know, the argument comes down to no. Let's be serious here because there are serious people. If Coach Taylor takes a position on this list, that means we're knocking off a famous scientist or you know, someone who had a major impact in helping the homeless. And you don't want to do that. So you want this to be absolutely serious.
You're listening to Think on KERA. I'm Lauren Silverman in for Chris Boyd. This hour, who will be Texan of the Year? We're talking about the 9 finalists selected by you and the Dallas Morning News with editorial writer Todd Roberson. You can join the conversation. Tell us who you think should be Texan of the Year by calling 800-933-5372 or by emailing think@kera.org. We'll be back with more after a short break.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education. Spring registration is now open with courses in art, architecture, literature, and languages, as well as professional certificates and test preparation. Registration online at smu.edu/CAPE.
Golf's new golden boy, 21-year-old Jordan Spieth, becoming the second youngest player to win the Masters, putting on that coveted green jacket. Only Tiger Woods was younger, but Spieth did something that even Tiger never has, leading from start to finish.
That is Jordan Spieth news coverage. You're listening to Think. I'm Lauren Silverman, in today for Chris Boyd, and we're talking about who will be this year's Texan of the Year. The Dallas Morning News will announce the winner in a special December 27th section. With me is Todd Roberson. He's editorial writer at the Dallas Morning News. So golfer Jordan Spieth went on to win the U.S. Open in June, but he fell short of capturing golf's Grand Slam when he finished tying 4th in the British Open in July. Todd, in a year when the Cowboys were down, this was a guy who gave people hope. He captured attention of sports fans locally.
Exactly. You know, we've got some major sports figures, Dirk Nowitzki, to name one, in hockey as well. But very few have captured the nation's imagination the way Jordan Spieth has. I think it's pretty safe to say not since Tiger Woods has a golfer kind of engendered so much attention and gotten inspired a fan base the way he has.
And it seems like from what I read in the finalist summary as well, that he wasn't just – it's not just golf that got him to this finalist round. It seemed like it was his sportsmanship as well.
Exactly. He's just a genuinely good person. And you know, I guess the argument could be made he's come from a fairly privileged background. And in many ways, that's the true test of the person you're looking at is what they do with the gifts they've been given, whether they're financial gifts or privileges that you grow up with, or the gift of being a great golf player. You know, if you use it for selfish means, why would I want to celebrate that? Why would anyone want to read an article about someone who amassed millions of dollars in winnings from golf and pocketed it and bought a big yacht? It's just not terribly inspiring, but he's just a genuinely nice person.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the people who dominated headlines in 2015 but aren't finalists. And one that immediately came to mind is, of course, Sandra Bland. How did she not end up, or was there much debate over her as a finalist?
There was some discussion. It's hard to describe how we define impact. First of all, you know, it's not a popularity contest or simply because you made news that you get selected for this. There has to be a level of impact that we can define to the point where we can write about it. She did confront a police officer who didn't appear to have a good justification for stopping her, and then continuing to kind of goad her to the point where she had an emotional eruption, and then that became his justification for manhandling her and cuffing her, and then taking her to the county jail where she committed suicide. It took a lot of guts on her part to just kind of take a stand and say, no, I'm not going to put up with this. At the same time, we don't yet have all of the facts of that story to say definitively, this is what happened, and therefore we are going to side unequivocally with Sandra Bland over the authorities on this one. We also don't know what were the circumstances in the jail cell itself that led to her death. So there's still a lot that needs to be to play out on this for us to make some kind of a definitive declaration. But it was discussed.
I imagine so. And another big story, and it sounds like the name of a female, which is why I ask whether this was in discussion, was Jade Helm, who is not a person. Jade Helm was the military exercise that some people said was an attempt by the federal government to prepare for a hostile takeover.
Yes. Okay. You took me by surprise there.
Doesn't
racking
that sound
my
like a
brain
person,
going,
Jade
Helm? What,
yeah,
was
Jade.
That some kind of an exotic dancer or something? Yes. But no. Yes. We don't honor or we don't – there's that verb again.
Yeah.
We don't name things or events as Texan of the Year.
Even when they sound like people.
Yeah. Yeah. Even when in this case, yes, it had a huge impact for a very, very tiny group of people who were absolutely convinced that the federal government was coming to take over the state. And journalists, of course, had a lot of fun with it. I had a lot of fun poking fun at it on our blog. You know, the vast majority of people could not have taken that seriously and did not. The military certainly didn't take it seriously. And so, again, we don't name events Texans of the Year. It has to be people.
Now, two people who definitely made headlines this year were a couple who challenged Texas's ban on gay marriage here in North Texas, Vic Holmes and Mark Ferris, who we've had on the show and on the program. They seem like – I don't know if – did they not make finalists, or would something like that maybe not make finalists given that something was a national issue as well?
that is a perfect example. In fact, we did discuss them and that issue and try to find ways that we could make that work. It is particularly difficult when a process takes years to culminate. So you have to look back at when did they initiate the court battle that led to that Supreme Court decision. It wasn't in 2015 that they made their impact. It was years ago. And so that is a part of the problem that we have. The impact must have occurred in 2015. I can't discuss who will be the Texan of the Year that we're going to announce this weekend. But I will say, in this case, the Texan of the Year did something that started long ago and culminated in major progress this year that we can put our finger on and say, "Yep, that was impactful in 2015."
So it doesn't have to be something that began this year. It can be something that the effects are more visible today.
Exactly.
So how about other politicians that aren't on the list and that haven't been I don't know, maybe they have been finalists, but definitely weren't crowned or not honored as Texan of the Year in the past. I'm thinking of Senator Ted Cruz, for example, who's definitely in headlines quite a bit this year.
Exactly. Okay. He was discussed as well. And we debated this back and forth. We could not deny that he has had a huge effect this year as well as in previous years. But I was one of the people who asked this very pointed question. Name me one thing that Ted Cruz has done this year aside from just be a politician and run for the highest office in the nation. What has he actually accomplished this year? Long silence. You try to look. Was there a piece of legislation? No. Did he save someone from a burning car? No. We just couldn't identify anything other than the fact that he was a politician, and politicians provoke people and make news. But just being in the news doesn't necessarily mean that you've made the kind of impact that gets you the Texan of the Year designation.
Interesting. Who would you say is the least known person who's won in the past, or someone you know whose name familiarity was just very low?
Definitely, it would have to be Roy Velas, who is from El Paso.
And that was 2006.
Yes, I believe 2006. Yeah. And that is not a name that if you were to say that name to anyone you know, even probably if they were from El Paso, they would not necessarily know that name. He lost two sons, one in the Iraq War and one in the Afghanistan War. And I have to admit, it was before I was on the editorial board, and I was overseas at the time, so I didn't read that Texan of the Year.
Yeah.
But my understanding is that this is a man who despite the very devastating news of losing two sons, continued to be upbeat, positive, a defender of the military. And it just didn't let this drag him down and destroy his life, as it very easily could have.
I wonder how someone like that gets on the radar.
Again, and that's one of the critical points of this. You know, when we get nominations, very, very often people confuse this as being the Dallas Texan of the Year.
Yes.
Or the North Texan of the Year, because this is the place where, you know, we focus on people in our area, and we have to constantly remind people, you know, there are other big cities out there. There's Houston and San Antonio, people doing extraordinary things down there, and people in El Paso. And so the reason we start this process as early as July is we have to start combing the newspapers all across the state, looking for little bits and pieces of you know, people who are making news and doing extraordinary things that other people are talking about that aren't necessarily getting attention in the Dallas Morning News or on KERA.
So throughout the year, are you generally, and I know you won't be next year because you won't be at the Dallas Morning News, but do you generally keep a file where you're right jotting down names, or do you do this last minute crash scanning?
Well, up until he took a retirement buyout this year, we had a colleague named Roger Jones who kind of served as the editor for the Texan of the Year. Mm. And it was his job to keep that file. And absolutely, he was a meticulous file keeper. Roger had a lot of files. And so he was just constantly gathering names and constantly sending us emails saying, you know, think, you know, is there someone in the arts that you can name who did something really extraordinary? Is there somebody in science, you know, somebody in the medical profession down in Houston who had a big cancer breakthrough, or, you know, Nobel Prize, anybody like that? And he kept a file on all of those. And you know, starting in July, he'd just start asking readers, you know, hey, how about this person? How about this person? Just to see what the reaction would be.
Well, we're not in July yet, but I'm imagining you might have a few hints at even 2016 as well. What stories, if any, do you think are at least going to be people who are going to be nominated, not for this round, but for next round, stories that are bubbling up?
Well, you know, obviously the presidential race is going to be huge, and we have Ted Cruz seeking the Republican nomination. That could be a point when we can say that he had identifiable impact that went beyond just being a presidential candidate. Mm-hmm. And so obviously we're going to be watching that very closely. We, as always, we'll be watching for scientific breakthroughs. If there's somebody who does something major in technology, and you know, there are even children in high school who have important scientific breakthroughs or technological breakthroughs. They do something that gets them invited to the White House, not because they made a clock, but because they invented something that got the recognition of the president for the science fair at the White House. We've done that before, and we'll continue to do that.
So it can be – what's the youngest people who've been finalists, if you know? Has it been children? Or?
I think it's this year. We've got an 11-year-old as a finalist. I think that's already been posted online.
Okay.
So I can talk about what will be in tomorrow's newspaper. It is a young lady who has initiated this major, impressive fundraising campaign to provide – bulletproof vests for police dogs.
Oh my gosh.
And all on her own at age 11, she raised $8,000 to provide police vests, dog vests for police dogs, I think in Ellis County and Waxahachie, among other places.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
All of these are online. They're at dallasnews.com, right? And
yes, I think dallasnews.com/toy. T-O-Y, Texan of the Year.
Texan of the Year. All right. You're listening to Think on KERA. I'm Lauren Silverman, in for Chris Boyd. In this hour, we've been talking with editorial writer Todd Robertson about the Dallas Morning News Texan of the Year Award. Todd, thanks so much for coming in. Really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure.
Think is produced by Stephen Becker and engineered by Shelley Kanabe. Lindsay Connect is associate producer. She answered your phone calls today. Executive editor is Jeff Whittington. And we will be back next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great afternoon.